Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with www.learnvisualstudio.net, where I teach beginners the skills they need to get their first software development job building Windows and web apps at the world's best companies as quickly as possible. All right, so in this lesson, I want to create an exercise for us that will combine many of the things that we've talked about previously into one example. You can see it's an app called Daily Rituals. Essentially, it's a goal tracking app. The idea is for 30 days, you'll track your progress against all the goals that you've created. So I'll create a new ritual or goal for myself. Let's call this ritual one, and this is the description of my new ritual, like so. And I will click the add button, and now I'll be able to see that in a list of rituals. Let me add a second ritual, like let's say I want to read every day, and I want to read a book on Amazon's bestsellers. All right, something like that. And click add. And the idea here is that over the course of 30 days, that if I am tracking my progress, I'll turn this into just an idea, into a ritual for myself, a daily practice. All right, and then as I every day run this app, I can track my progress against it. So did I do ritual one today? Yes, so I'll click I did this today. Notice that it makes the button no longer enabled but disabled, and then it tracks my progress in a little progress bar. And so you can see I'm using commanding here to track the command, the progress for each individual ritual that I create. Furthermore, I'm using a value converter to convert my progress, so 1 of 30, into this progress bar value, and a lot more. We'll serialize and store the data so that when I stop running the app and try to run it again, it all the data that I've entered into it will still be here and available the next time I run it. All right, and honestly, two things. First of all, I'm going to work through this very quickly. Secondly, this is probably not an extremely complete example. I'm not going to take the time to really make this look great and polish it. Feel free to take this idea and run with it and go any direction you want. It's not something I'm going to try and market on my own. All right, so let me go ahead and shut this down for now and then fire up a new instance of Visual Studio here. And we'll create a new project called Daily Rituals. New blank app project, by the way, Daily Rituals. Again, working fast. Make sure you pause the video. I'm going to be pasting in a lot of code, but I'll talk about what it is that I've done here. First, I'm going to create a new namespace, a new folder called data source, or let me call this data model instead, and we'll create a new class inside of there called data source. And it will contain both a class for my I would call it domain model. So public class ritual. And let me just paste in the properties for each individual ritual or goal that I want to accomplish here. So I'll have an ID, which will let me get back to it, a name and a description, which we saw in the add screen. I could add goal one or ritual one, I want to read every day, and then a long description below that. And then an observable collection of dates. And these are the dates that I've actually completed this ritual. So I clicked on that today. It adds an instance of today's date to that observable collection, and then we'll persist it later on. If I skip a day, obviously that would not be part of, if I don't, like tomorrow, for example, if I forget to read a book off of the Amazon list, then I wouldn't click the button. It wouldn't show up in my observable list of dates, right? So let me add the using statement to make sure observable collections are available. All right. Next up, this public data source will be kind of our view model that allows us to access collections of rituals. So what we'll do here is, first of all, going to add in a private member called rituals that we'll manage privately, and we'll create, we'll set that to a new instance of observable collection in our constructor. Okay, so I'm going to need to do a couple of things. I'm going to need to get a list of rituals so that I can bind to it. I'll need to retrieve rituals from disk, assuming that I have some saved there. I'll need to allow the add page to add a new ritual to the collection and then persist that to disk. Any changes that I make like whenever I click one of those buttons, I'll need to persist those to disk as well. So I'm going to need several different methods here in this data source that help me manage both persisting to disk, retrieving from disk, and then adding to collection, updating an item in the collection of rituals, right? So a lot of work just to be done there. So the first thing that I'm going to do is add a couple of helper methods. So I want to use an idea that we learned about whenever we were looking at the templated code. For example, to ensure that data has been loaded. And if it has been loaded, then we don't need to get the data. But if it has not been loaded, then we will go ahead and call this other helper method called get ritual data async. And this will pull it or attempt to pull data from a JSON file. Now, what's the name of that JSON file? Let me go ahead and create a constant because I'm going to be using this in more than one place and I don't want to spell it wrong and then have that be an issue for me. So I'm going to create a constant name file name just called rituals.json that'll be managed in my personal area. All right, I'm going to need to add some using statements here for the data contract JSON serializer. So put my mouse cursor on that that class name and add a using system runtime serialization.json. You can also see that application data does not exist currently as a using statement. So I'll add the windows.storage namespace for application data. This will create a problem for me as well. So whenever I'm trying to get to a file and read it in as a stream, there's this open stream for read async method. However, it's difficult to figure this out, but you need to add a using system.io, and I'm just going to add that manually because this relies on system.io. So let's go ahead up here to the top, paste that in as well. That should satisfy that. So let me walk through what this does. Again, here, if we already have rituals in memory, don't need to run this method anymore. Otherwise, let's go ahead and create a serializer, a JSON serializer for my observable collection of ritual. Okay. Now that I have a serializer available, all I need is to grab data from disk. So that's what this line of code does. It's going to say, okay, here's the file name. Let me move this over a little bit. Here's the file name. Rituals.json. Let me open it up so that I can read it into a stream. So that's what I'm calling here, this open stream for read async. Give it the file name, and now I have a memory stream. And now I can use my serializer and say, hey, I'm going to serialize this stream into an observable collection of ritual. So I take the serializer and cast its whatever the read object returns to me. And now I have any previous rituals and the state of those rituals in my private member called rituals. Now, if, for example, we attempt to load from the file and the file doesn't exist, well, then I'm just going to go ahead and say, well, then this is the first time we've run the app or the data has been corrupted. Let's just go ahead and create a new blank observable collection of ritual. All right, so that's what this try-catch does around it. All right, so that is the process of getting the ritual data. Now let's provide a way to save the data, this observable collection of ritual, to disk. So I'm going to add in another private helper method called save ritual data async, and it'll just do the opposite. Again, we're going to create a data contract JSON serializer of type observable collection of ritual. And then what we'll do is call the antithesis of the previous open stream for read async. Now we're going to open the stream for write async, give it the file name, so rituals.json, and then say, hey, if that file already exists, go ahead and overwrite it. We don't need that anymore. And then we're merely calling the JSON serializer and saying, go ahead and write that object, the rituals object, to the current memory stream. And we use that using in both cases because once we fall out of the using scope, we want to dispose of that stream and close up the file and any links that we have to that file from our app. All right, so that is, we're able to now retrieve and save our ritual data to disk, to the to the phone's storage. The next thing that we're going to need to do is allow the app to actually add a new ritual to the collection of rituals. And so I'll create a public member for that here. And so as you can see, we're going to allow that add ritual.xaml screen, which we haven't created yet. We're going to allow it to send in the name and the description. It's going to create a new instance of ritual, and then it's going to add that ritual to my collection of rituals, and then call and say, all right, now that we've added it in to the collection, save that, persist that to disk, and return back to the main page.xaml. All right. And then finally, what we're going to need to do is allow mainpage.xaml to bind to our data. So let's do this. Actually, I'll put it right here. Some people don't like to mix their privates and their publics. I don't particularly have a problem with that. I generally roll things up anyway. What I like to do is kind of keep things this get public get rituals relies on the private ensure data loaded, and this relies on the one below it. So I kind of keep things collected together in the order in which they're called. Since this public method relies on these two private methods, and this public method relies on this private method, I kind of keep them bundled up together. Whatever way you want to organize your code's up to you, I don't care. Okay, but at any rate, back to the matter at hand, get rituals will return the current rituals collection of observable collection of ritual, making sure that the data has been loaded. Of course, if it hasn't been loaded, then it will go out and get it. And that's the chain of command there. Great. All right, so I think we have, for the most part, a good start at our data model. Next thing we want to do is design up our main page. And this is where things get a little bit tricky for us. I'm going to take a slightly different approach here. We need to get our data model, our data source, to two pages, the mainpage.xaml and the, and let's go ahead and add, so I can just reference it from this point on. Let's add a new blank page that we're going to call add ritual.xaml. So we need to make sure that our data source is available to both of those two XAML files. How can we do this? Well, if you recall, one of the responsibilities, one of the things we can do with the app class is add any properties to it that make it scoped for the entire application. And so what I'll do is simply this. Here, I'll create a public static data source object. Why can't it find it? Well, because I have it in a different namespace, in this data model namespace. So let's see if we can't add that dailyrituals.datamodel to our using statement. So we have now a public property, or a public field, I guess you can say, a static field called data model. And whenever the app loads up, what I'll do is set that to a new instance of the data source class, and from that point on we should have access it through app. So I can go app.datamodel, and that will represent this class here. Okay, so in my mainpage.xaml.cs, whenever we navigate to the page, I can just do something like var rituals equals app.datamodel.getRituals. I know this is a different technique that we've used, and I just wanted to show you a different way to go about this. So this is awaitable, so we'll have to do the await and then add async like we've learned, like so. And then once we have that, what we can do is set the data context for the page. Typically we've done that just declaratively here in the page declaration, but there's another way we can do this. Since this represents the current page, I can set the data context just in C# code, doing it like this, and then set it equal to rituals, like so. All right. Now, we have the same effect as if we had set the data source property in the page. Great. So once we have that, what we need to do is work with our grid here. And I'm going to create some row definitions to start off with, like so. And I will put the name of the app and so forth here. All right. And next up, what I'll do is create another grid that will actually sit inside of this other grid, and this will represent the data, okay? And so inside of here, what I'm going to do is something a little bit odd that we haven't seen before, and that is I'm going to create an items control. And an items control will allow us to basically bind to the data source for this specific control so that we can go grid.resources, resources, like so. And inside grid.resources, we can create a data template. And inside that data template, so for every item inside of items control, so everything we're binding to right now, and we're just binding to the page's context, right? Because we set this dot data context equals our data source. Inside of here, I can, for example, bind to text blocks that have the name and the description for a given ritual. So let me give this data template a name to resolve this issue I have here. So x name equals data template, like so. Now it should all look good. All right, so here again, items control says we want one data template for every item that we're binding to. We're binding to whatever the page is binding to. The page's data context. So that'll be a collection of rituals. Each ritual will list out its name and its description. We'll add some more stuff here in just a moment. Well, let's go ahead and, for example, add a button. So inside of the stack panel, let me add another stack panel. And I'm going to add, I'm not even sure I really needed to do this. In fact, let me go ahead and get rid of that. I'm going to add a button. And we're going to call this completed button. And I'll just put the content to I did this today. And we'll set some other things on it eventually, but we'll just stop it right there. And let me do one more thing. There's a lot of setup here before we can even make this actually work. I need to add a command bar so that I can get to that add ritual page. And I think one of the ways I can go about this, I'm just going to put my cursor in the page. And you can see here that in the past we went to the document outline, remember to add a command bar. But there's another way to do this. I can just go over here to the properties. Make sure your mouse cursor is in the definition for page. And you can click new. And it created a command bar. You see it put it here at the top. And now let's put our mouse cursor inside there and say we want to add a primary command. So I clicked on the primary command collection there and select, I want to add an app bar button. And we'll set the label equal to add ritual. And I'm going to set the icon to just a plus or add, I guess. Yeah, add would be good. Okay. And I think that's all that I need to do. Maybe I need to give it a name. And so here we'll just say name equal add ritual, and then Click equals add that event handler, and let's go ahead and navigate to it. So hit F12 to add, go to the add ritual click, and here we'll go frame.navigate the type of add ritual. All right, so you should be able to do that now. And then let's go into add ritual and start setting that up. And for the most part, add ritual is pretty easy. I can make it a lot nicer, but I'm not going to in this case. I'm just going to paste in all of my content, essentially a goal name and description. It doesn't look good in the designer, but it should work just fine. So a text block and a text box, another text block and a larger text box, and then the add button, and then the add button will have an add underscore click. Let's go ahead and look at the definition for that. At a minimum, whenever we add, we're going to want to frame.navigate our way back to our mainpage.xaml. Whoops. We'll obviously want to do some other things too, like save this new ritual. All right. In fact, I think we can go ahead and do this. Watch this. app.datamodel.addRitual. And then we'll just use the goal name text box that we just added in XAML a moment ago, .text. And then we need goal description text box .text to give it both the name and the description of our new ritual. Oops, I have an extra one of these. So let's see this at work and see what works and what doesn't at this point. Everything compiles, so it must work, right? That's a good sign. Okay, so it loads up. No rituals to start with. Let's go ahead and add a new ritual. We'll call this my new ritual. And add this is a description here. And then click the add button. Hey, it shows up. Awesome. Now we click the button for the new ritual and nothing happens. So we're going to need to add a command. And then also modify the whether it's enabled or not using a value converter. So now we've got some hard work to do. Okay, well, actually, let's see if it actually persists as well, and it does. Okay, so it saved it to disk. I'm very happy about that. Well, actually, I guess the true test would be it to suspend and shut down and then run it again. Yep, and it saved it to disk. Outstanding. Okay, so the next big thing we need to do is to add the command for this. And so I'm going to add a new folder called commands. Keep everything organized here. And I'm going to create a new command. So a new class called complete a button click. .cs, great. And we have to implement iCommand. Obviously, I need to add the namespace, and then I'll control period on my keyboard one more time to implement the namespace. Can you execute it? We're just going to say, yes, you can. Return, return true. And then what we'll do here, whenever it executes, what do we want to do? We want to call app.datamodel. And then we're going to need a new method that allows us to say, we completed that ritual today. How are we going to do that? We're going to need to add something to our data model. So let's go back into our data source here. And we're going to implement a new public method. And I'll just put it at the very bottom here, since we're thinking very linearly. Complete ritual today, passing in, give me the ritual. I'll look it up. And I will call a member or a method called add date. So let me go up and add a new add date method here, and I'll explain the method to my madness here in just a minute. But dates.addDateTime today. So that should make the change. Obviously, when we make that change, we're going to need to not only make it to the collection, but then also save that data. Okay. So here we're doing, we're using our internal collection of rituals. We're going to find the index for the current ritual. Once we found it, then we're going to say, okay, now that we found that specific ritual, change its date. It's been completed today. Add that today's date to that list of dates and then save that data. Now, let's go back here and finish this because we're going to call completed ritual today and we're going to pass in, I guess, the parameter, right? But I think we're going to have to cast it. It's not going to like this. Yeah. So we'll cast this to a ritual, like so. That should make it happy. Although it cannot find ritual because it's not in the same namespace. Now it can find it. Now it's happy. Outstanding. All right. So let's finish implementing this this completed button click before we go any further. Let's go to our data source. And we're going to need to make a change to our ritual, right? We need to wire up. In fact, we're going to need to create a new property, remember? A property of type iCommand called completed command. And let's do a getter and a setter on that to make it auto-implemented. And we need to add the correct using statement for that, like so. Nice. And then in the constructor for this class, so public ritual, we're going to need to set the completed command equal to a new instance of completed button click. And as you can see, can't see that class yet. So we need to add a using statement to our commands namespace that's created whenever we created a folder called commands, like so. And also while we're here, we're going to need to create a new, we're going to need to do this. Dates equals new observable collection of date time. So we can get that collection going since we're going to start working with it. Finally, we're going to need to go to our mainpage.xaml, and we'll need to bind to, so this button that we've added here, let's add it, so a command equals, and we're going to bind to that new completed command, like so, and we'll need to set its command parameter. We're going to need to bind that as well. And we're just going to bind it to the current object. All right, to the current source here, which will be a individual, a ritual, an instance of the ritual class. Okay? Now, we're going to run this, but we're going to get some errors, I think, when we attempt to do this, or at the least, we won't get what we expect. So I'm gonna click, I did this today. And yeah, I hit a problem here. And the problem is that there is, it can't be serial, this completed button click property cannot be serialized to disk, right? So this is an actual property now, but the JSON serializer says, well, what do you want me to do with this? I don't know how to persist this to the disk. So what we have to do is tell the serializer, well, then forget about it. It's really for another purpose. You don't need to know anything about it. So we will tell it to ignore data member. And we're going to have to give it, yeah, using system.runtime.serialization. Forget you even saw that property. We're using it for something else. Let's go ahead and run the app again and see what happens this time. Huh. Nothing shows up. Let's see what happens here when we type a first goal. This is the first goal. Add. A null reference exception happens. What now? It doesn't like the fact that I'm creating. And I think at this point, I'm just going to close down the, I think because we have some data in there and the shape of the data has changed, what I want to do is close down the emulator to reset the emulator completely. And then I'll rerun this again and see what happens. Just as a method of debugging, debugging this big change. It was working, but nothing we added to it should have stopped it from loading in the previous one. So let's go ahead and try this again. We're going to add first ritual, and this is the description of first ritual. Click add. Okay, so I believe that was just it. That previously, whatever we had serialized wouldn't work anymore because we changed the definition of ritual. Even though we told it to ignore that member, somehow it's internally serialized to that it had some knowledge of it. All right, so I did this today. I click it, nothing happens. And so when that happens, what does that tell you? Well, we changed the underlying data, but the data doesn't notify anything that binds to it that a change has happened. So what we'll want to do is implement the iNotifyChanged property on our ritual. So let's go back to our data source at the very top. The ritual now need to implement iNotifyChanged. iNotifyPropertyChanged. And add that using statement. And then let's go ahead and implement the iNotifyPropertyChanged. That just adds this. We'll want to add that little boilerplate code that we always add whenever we're implementing iNotifyPropertyChanged. And then finally, what we'll want to do is an add date. This is really what we want to change. We want to let anybody binding to our collection of rituals to know that we now have a new date added to our collection of dates. And so it needs to say the dates collection has changed, so update yourself to reflect that. So that's what we'll do here. Notify property changed, sending in dates. All right, so that's the first big change. But then how are we going to reflect that change on the UI? And so in order to make something meaningful happen whenever we make that change, let's go into our mainpage.xaml and let's take a look at what we have so far. What we want to do is set the isEnabled equal to false whenever today's date has been already clicked. The ritual for today has already been clicked once. How are we going to figure that out? Well, remember what we learned in the previous lesson about value converters. I think a converter will work here just fine. For now, I'll just set isEnabled equals false. And then I'm going to add another folder. And this time it's going to be called value converters. Value converters. And then inside here, I'm going to add a new class. And I'm going to call this the isComplete to Boolean, because we want to know if today's date is complete, we want to set it to false. So that is what we're going to call it, converter. Great. And so we will implement iValueConverter. Like so. And what we'll do is we know what's being passed in. We're going to pass in that collection of dates. And when we pass in that collection of dates, we're going to determine whether today is in that collection or not. So this is what we're going to do. Let me implement that like so. All right, so dates comes in as value. We're going to cast it to an observable collection of date time. Now we have it. Does dates contain date time.today? If it does contain today, then we want to return the value false because we're using this with the isEnabled property of the button. So we want it to be, if it doesn't contain today, we want it to be enabled. If it does contain today, we don't want that button to be enabled. All right, so that's what we're going to do there. That should be everything we need to do there, but we're going to need to add our value converter, and this is always a little bit of an effort here, right? Because we got to go to page.resources, like so, and oh yeah, that's right. We're going to need to add a namespace, XML namespace, value converter equal using, using daily rules dot value converters, like so. And then we're going to want to add a value converter, is boolean to complete converter, and give it the key of is complete to boolean converter, like so. That should work. That should work. Why are you giving me a little problem here? I think let's just build it and see if we can make that go away. And it does go away. Great. So now we should be able to come down here and bind to dates. And whoops, why are you not letting me bind to the dates, my friend? And then converter equals static resource is complete to boolean converter. I think that's going to work. I think it's going to work. I think it's going to work. Yes, today I already clicked it once, so let's add another one and see if it works. So a second ritual, and here's a second description, and then click add. Yes, it works. Oh, wait, what? There you go. Why didn't it? Maybe I didn't click it well the first time. That's definitely something I want to test a third time now. So let's do this third. And third, like so, and click the add button. All right, now I want to be very precise about this. I'm going to click this button. It did not update. Why didn't it update? We got to figure that out. Why didn't it update? You know why? Because I'm a knucklehead. That's why. Check this out. I put this in the wrong order, I think. Let's see if that works. Let's see if that changes things at all. See, I think it did change something because we launched it and that button is no longer enabled. So let's go with fourth. And then let's try fourth here and click add. All right. And I'm gonna need to scroll viewer as well on this, and it works this time. It was just the sequence of events was wrong. All right, but that was a good error to encounter. Now, while I'm thinking about that, I need a scroll viewer here. In fact, can I just put a scroll viewer around this, or is that gonna let me do it? I always get confused about scroll viewers, exactly what I can wrap up in a scroll viewer and what I can't. That should work. Let's try this again. That did not work at all. I think what I need to do is put it one more level like here instead and move this to here as well. I know it'll work. Come on, there you go. Yeah, that works. All right, there's only one last thing to do, and that's to implement that that progress bar across the bottom. So let's put the progress bar right there. We're in the home stretch now. Progress bar. And we'll have to set the value. Let's set it equal to 1 just for playing around. And the maximum we'll set to 30 because, again, we want this to work for 30 days. And the minimum we'll set to 0. All right. But ultimately, we're going to want to change that based on how many days are currently in the dates collection. And so I'm going to need to add another value converter class called completed dates to integers. How many dates have been completed? So completed dates to integer converter, like so. And we're going to implement iValue converter. And then yes, and then inside of that, this is simple. Once we add the using statements, we're going to get dates again in our value, and then I just want to count. That's all I need. I just want to return the count. Once I have the count, let's go back to our main page.xaml. We're going to need to add another value converter, so let's do that real quick here. And this time, this is going to be the, what would I call this? Completed dates to integer converter. Completed dates to integer converter. Integer. And then we should be able to name that as the key. And let's build it. Get rid of that blue squiggly. I hate blue squigglies when I know they shouldn't be there. Finally, this is the final step. I think this is going to work. We're going to bind to dates again. And bind to dates again, I said. Bind to dates. Stop at IntelliSense. Converter equals static resource. Completed dates. I love when it works like that. Look at that. Completed dates to integer converter. Now watch. I think it's going to work. All right, I guess the proof is, let's add a new goal name. New goal name. Fifth or sixth, I guess, at this point. Sixth and sixth. Click add. Right, and that item, you can see it's nothing's there. Do it, now it appears right under there. That was a long example. I knew it would be. There was a lot of pieces that worked together there, but hopefully you could see how they all came together to create a working app. All right, I have nothing more to say about that. Hopefully you were able to follow along. Take a look at the source code that I've supplied here if you ever get stuck. All right, we'll see you in the next lesson. Thank you.